fighting for America.
Unless we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ.
Fighting for Idaho.
Who decides when a law-abiding citizen is trained enough to defend themselves? And I don't think any of us, whether that's the legislators, the sheriffs, other citizens, have the right to tell someone when they are qualified to defend their life.
Fighting for you.
The pipeline is the way that they carry the product from the wells.
I know what a pipeline is, but okay. No, I'm saying...
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Now coming up, we'll talk to Dave Pezzo here in a minute, but here's something that happened over the weekend. If you go to Kevin Miller Show on Facebook or follow me on Twitter at Kevin Miller Show or at 580 KIDO, I always tweet these things. The head of the Gallup polling firm recently backpedaled on his claim that the official unemployment rate being trumpeted by the White House, Wall Street, and the media is a big lie. Well, and we'll get into this with Dave Pezzo because I really love finding out the truth about unemployment in this country because, quite frankly, the stocks are doing well, and that's great for people that own stocks, but as we've documented for almost 6 years together now, unemployment... the real unemployment numbers have gone higher. I mean, they've gone higher. People say, well, it's at 5.9. It's historic. Well, that's if you get rid of the people that have been looking for work past 6 months, the U6 versus the U3. Now, it sounds, how should we put that? It sounds technical, but it really isn't. When you're thinking about people that have been out of work that have given up, if you've given up, they don't count you anymore. Now, if it were Mitt Romney or Scott Walker or Jeb Bush in the White House, they would count it. And again, it's the media double standards, how they influence public opinion instead of reporting the news. But here you have it. Jim Clifton basically said, quote, I think the number that comes out from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Department of Labor is very, very accurate. I need to make that very, very clear so that I don't suddenly disappear. I need to make it home tonight. But Mr. Clifton contended that the percent of full-time jobs in this country as a percent of the adult population is the worst it's been in 30 years. His appearance on CNBC came days after he claimed the official unemployment rate being trumpeted by the White House is a big lie. None of them will tell you this. If you, a family member, or anyone else is unemployed and has subsequently given up on finding a job, if you are so hopelessly out of work that you've stopped looking over the past 4 weeks, the Department of Labor doesn't count you as unemployed. Wow. So there we have it. And I go back to what he said. I need to be very, very accurate. He backpedals that the Bureau of Labor Statistics is very, very clear so that I don't suddenly disappear. I need to make it home tonight. Dave Pezzo joins us now at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here, Kevin.
This is something that you talk about every week here at 580 KIDO or at the Pezzo Center, at Pezzo Financial, about the real statistics when it comes to unemployment. Here you have the chairman and CEO of Gallup saying, well, the numbers aren't real. Oh, I got a backpedal. And he says this online here at Newsmax and other places, that I'm going to be very, very clear. They are accurate so that I don't suddenly disappear. I need to make it home tonight.
Right, right.
That's big news.
Kind of is big news, yes, yes. But it's not like this is new to this administration, Kevin. The unemployment numbers are misstated and have been misstated for quite some time because when people drop out of the workforce because they're not looking anymore, we call it, the best measurement is the U6, like we've talked about, right? Where that's the unemployed, the underemployed, and the people who have flat given up. That's the best, and that's still a double-digit number, Kevin. So a lot of people looking for work that can't find it and people who have just quit looking because they can't find work.
Is it the government's point to mission to find people jobs? Where do you fall down on this? Because we've talked about it before. The stock market, for the first time in history, is going through the roof, and yet we haven't had the rising tide that usually happens with a recovery.
That's correct, and I think that's because we've got so many different government is the problem, as Ronald Reagan famously said. It's not the solution. It always has been the problem. I'm not sure why we instantly turn to some, you know, big mother suckling to every time there's any kind of problem out there, because government always functionally destroys capital and misaligns our labor and our resources. It always does that because you arbitrarily decide who you're going to favor, Kevin, and you can be, you know, St. Paul, and the answer is that you're still going to have certain favorites that you over something else. That's the inherent problem with government, and we assume everybody's a saint. Well, most people aren't. So it gets even worse than that, and it's a very corrupt system. So when we try to have or ask the government to do more, it actually forces the labor to go in weird ways incorrectly, and it doesn't allow the economy to heal. So the problem really is more and more regulation, and I think this time, this administration has piled so much on top of us, especially with the Affordable Care Act, it has gotten ridiculous to think that people would go out and hire.
Well, and we take a look at where we are right now. Crude oil is up. Heating oil is up, probably aided by what's going on in the Northeast right now, another 10 or 15 inches. So much for global warming. Do you see the commodities going up? I'm looking right now. Gasoline, natural gas, heating oil, crude. And your favorite, gold and silver, going up. Copper, not so much today. But back to the stuff that we've been glowing about and gloating about for a while, the low fuel costs. So you think those are over?
No, not at all. I don't. This is, as you point out, is also a cold weather boost. But it's also traders. Do you know that in the last 2 weeks, Kevin, literally, the oil has gone up 20% in the last 2 weeks. 20%. I mean, this is an absurd jump, right? But this comes off of an absurd fall. So the prices went down 50%. We've never seen oil fall that fast as it did. So it really went down. Now we have a bit of a dead cat bounce here, right? But it's also due to the fact that it's a commodity.
Wait a minute. Did you say a dead cat bounce?
Yes. It's
it's a technical term?
It's a technical term. Yeah. If you ever – everybody go grab their cat.
Yeah. Well, it's a technical term. Okay.
That's right. So we have this bounce, but it's not much.
Right.
Really considering the fall. So when we have this bounce, I wouldn't say we're going back. But look how quickly commodities have reacted. The rig count has dropped the most since 1987. That's a lot of years ago, and that just happened over the past month. So we're not going to punch as many holes to have too much oil. So it's a self-correcting deal, but it takes a long time. Just because they stopped drilling this time doesn't mean prices are going to suddenly spike. There's still ample oil, and it's just trying to find a bottom. And now that prices are moving higher, traders get on that trade and push it maybe a few bucks higher in this particular trading go around. This momentum is up.
Well, and here we have, speaking of momentum, we have the OPEC folks last week saying oil prices could shoot to $200 a barrel. What's the impact on the market, whether that's real or not?
None, because nobody thinks it's going to $200 a barrel. I don't know. You know, I talked about this Saturday, Kevin. I kind of led off with, you know, bring in the clowns. Why is it that we always listen to the clowns, right? It's like the most absurd people who are never right, or they're right like a stopped watch. Every 20 years, some bear gets it right, or some guy that's saying commodities are going to super spike or whatever it is. They're finally right, but we can't seem to get rid of them in the news. They're still there all the time. Guys like Peter Schiff, I still see his headlines out there. He hasn't been right since 1980 or since 06 when he said commodities would go up. But the problem there was he didn't say they would stop going up. So he levered up and destroyed everybody's capital and more. So I don't know why that's the case, but we look at some of these absurd, just like the same people out there yelling at $20. Do I hear it? 15, 15 on the downside for oil. Everybody's trying to outbid themselves, and it's just noise.
Our friend Dave Petzo with us here at 580 KIDO, 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Hopefully those headphones work over there. If not, we'll see what we can do. We'll go to Tom Munns at TomMunns.com at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Tom Munns. Are you there?
Good morning, guys.
Okay.
Good morning.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, I I'm hearing Dave sounding a little bit more pessimistic lately and than his usual optimism, and or maybe it's because reality is setting in. The job numbers and all of that stuff, you know, I just can't wait until these trade partnerships go through, you know, with the Trade Promotion Authority and all of these people. Even our own government, we've talked about our own Idaho legislature and our own, you know, big businesses here. They're supporting, they're supporting trade partnership agreements that are going to do nothing.
Now, is there a question for Dave Petzo, or is this TomMunnsCommentary.com?
Well, I was just going to say, I can't imagine, maybe he could comment on these trade partnerships and about how government thinks that the only thing there is to do is to create jobs rather than protect our freedom.
Fair enough, Tom. Thank you for the call. Are these trade partnerships good, or as we've seen, a lot of jobs that were done over here now are being done elsewhere?
And a lot of jobs that were done elsewhere are being done here. It depends on, you know, that's the point of free trade, is when countries do what they're best at. And, of course, with us now, I think it's even more important, because since we've become the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, I believe we're going to have this huge industrial revolution in this country, meaning we're going to build a lot of stuff here that's high energy, chemicals, things like that, that require so much energy to be used. When you're the lowest cost producer in the world for natural gas, that is a very, very strong place. So I believe now, I always believe in free trade. I mean, it's just economically, statistically, it's off the charts. One of the most important things that any country can do to improve their economic status in the world.
Dave Petzo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. So what do you make of the brouhaha, even with this issue involving the fudging of the job numbers that has gone on since this administration came into power, that the unemployment did shoot up a little?
Yeah, it did, and that's because they actually had a million more people, theoretically, in the workforce, which seems absurd also. Kevin, and you look at the numbers and the way they swing around month to month, you shouldn't put a lot of credence on one number. For example, one of the reasons this jobs report was so strong was because of the revision of 140,000 jobs for the last 2 months. Well, how accurate is it when 2 months later, you're still revising the numbers, right? So we do have a circumstance that really doesn't make for all the numbers to be perfectly accurate. And as far as them counting, I think where this administration has been so, if you will, playing games with the numbers versus any other administration before it, is that they've been encouraging the Social Security Administration to hurry up and get people on the dole. Anybody that's got a bad back, sinus infection, whatever it is, you should be on disability. And they have had tens, hundreds of thousands, millions of people that never qualified for Social Security before and therefore now do and are off of the employment rolls. So that's one of the things that I think they've done to tilt the numbers.
More coming up with Dave Petzo next.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, Dave Petzo with us as we continue on. So we've been talking about this, and we talked a little bit about this off the air. Brian Williams, not just about how he's damaged his brand at NBC, but from an investment point of view, Dave Petzo, here you have the guy that took the reins from Tom Brokaw, that I guess from before that it was that guy with the glasses and David Brinkley. But here you have the face of NBC News caught in a lie, admitting to it. A $10 million a year investment, never mind all the goodwill that the guy has done. Mm-hmm. From an investment perspective, how does NBC recoup what they have? And if they were to blow him up from an investment perspective, could you imagine the losses that would happen on that program?
Yeah, I think that the reality is they're going to have, because of the circumstance, whether they do get rid of him or not, Kevin, there's going to be advertisers that pull. They're not going to want to advertise on that, on his program anymore. And certainly I think viewers are going to say, I just don't want to be there anymore. I'm not going to listen. So I think he's done. I would guess he is. And as far as their investment, I think they've done well at $10 million a year. I'm sure they feel they have. But you're right. Now they're going to have to start from the back of the pack with somebody new and hopefully build it up from there. But let's face it, Kevin, this is the network news is not, Walter Cronkite you know, and Dan Rather and faces like that. Dan Rather did the same thing. He was fired because he flat lied about the Bushes. I mean,
and then he used his program to continue to defend the lie.
Yes. I know, exactly. Yeah. It was really incredible when you talk about that. It was just he got caught up in politics, so very, very severe. But and I don't think unjustly punished. I think he should have been punished worse. I think he really should have been probably had to go to jail for slander. Wow. That's a big but it's a big place. This isn't these were big lies, and they were meant to be deceiving, and it's a big platform to be able to be allowed to lie. I can't go on air and lie about you, Kevin. I'm not supposed to be able to.
Right.
And get away with it, but he did. He just got all he did was lose his job. I know that's a lot, but it's not. Anyway, the point here is I think that he's going to be out of a job. And NBC, from a financial perspective, yeah, they're taking it. They're going to lose way more than $10 million.
Dave Pezzo with us here. Let's talk about a couple of iconic brands. One of the major stories in this week on Bloomberg Business Week is the end of Radio Shack. You and I grew up with Radio Shack. At one time, everybody would go to the mall to get the latest in remote control robots or Tandy this or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on an iconic brand going away? Remember a couple of years ago they got rid of the word radio, and then the Super Bowl ad going back to the 80s with right. Radio Shack. I mean, is this just the beginning of the end of these iconic brands that have these niches? I mean, could one day we be talking about a Best Buy, like we're talking about Radio Shack?
Absolutely, without question. They'll come and go over the years. They all do. You wouldn't think that Sears would disappear, but it pretty much has. You wouldn't think, Montgomery Ward would disappear, right. But it did. And great retailers do. I think one of the things when I first started in the industry, Kevin, that somebody pointed out was that think of how many retailers have been around for 100 years. And the answer is, at that time, was Sears. That's it.
Right.
They all come and go. So whatever you think is like nobody's ever going to top, you know, Chipotle or whatever, they will. And they come and they go, and the different brands do. This one was one that you can get all of the components at Best Buy, right, for cheaper.
Sure.
Right? And
larger store.
And they're much, much more comfortable. That's the problem. You have all those. And then before that, it was Circuit City. So you had all of these 1-2 punches. Then you have even go to Fred Meyer, and they probably have – you know, half the stuff anyway that you basically need sitting over there on the side while you pick up your lettuce and you can pick up your headphones or whatever. In the old days, everybody was fragmented, and you had to go to Radio Shack to get like a little connector thing, right? An electrical
exactly.
connect. They were the only people that had it. Now you just open up a new shop Amazon and you have it. Ah, we'll wait a couple of days. It'll be here in a couple of days. And boom. You just have it delivered to your store. You don't even bother to go to Radio Shack. So all of those things come together to destroy that brand.
Speaking of another brand, and is this a sign that the economy is recovering, even though you and I are skeptical as far as the jobs go, that McDonald's has had a couple bad quarters? Remember when we're in the depths of the recession, McDonald's was killing it.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden people seem to have more money. McDonald's now is going to revise their menus. Of course, if you saw the ads during the Super Bowl, hey, we were there for you, you know, kind of like the town crier, if you will, McDonald's in every town in America. Your take on McDonald's?
Kevin, I don't eat at McDonald's because it's not the kind of food I want to eat, and that I don't think is real different. I really think that's the problem that they face, is that that most all people are eating differently, at least wanting to, and certainly walking into McDonald's is like enticing if you really like that, you know, high carb, high fat stuff is really a big attraction.
Comfort food.
There right. you go. If you really like that comfort food, then walking in there is not going to help you try to stay good to your diet, right? Not
sure.
necessarily diet, but just general. I'm not saying you're on this rigid, you know, organic, I only eat raw vegetable diet.
Right. It's not like you're going to Whole Foods every day.
Correct. It's not even that, but it's just the opposite. So people are staying away. The same thing with sodas and all these other things, which are the high margin items. They're just not ordering as many. So, Kevin, I think that a lot of those things play against them, and whether they get their menus, breakfast was a big deal to them. Now everybody's stealing their breakfast, people.
Taco Bell
hit a home run on the breakfast, right? Roll it up. I mean, how hard are eggs? And yeah, you and I can do that. I can cook that.
I'm thinking about it. And then you have the again, when you drive by these places, the reason why we're giving you this history, then you have Burger King that essentially has become a place that is a franchise. Most of the franchises now are locally owned. They sold all their assets.
They did. Well, I think, you know, you're talking about the Super Bowl and stuff like that. Remember those creepy King ads they did?
The King. They were so creepy,
They were so creepy.
I thought they were good after a while, though. Here comes the King. He's going to get you.
Yeah, I just...
Like he could walk in here
Remember, like he'd be like the creepiest one was like you'd wake up and he was in bed.
Yes, exactly.
It's just, come on. You know, anyway, but you're right. Some of these brands are running into trouble. There's lots of people out there doing the comfort food, whether it's Wendy's, Burger King, Jack in the Box, all those. There's a lot of competitors there for a smaller and smaller set of people. Chipotle and places like that is quick but
healthier
choices. Those places are packed. Their stocks are on fire, and there's not enough human beings to eat all of the comfort food and all of the healthier food.
Locally, how would you gauge the Treasure Valley economy? Obviously, we see a lot of buildings still in the city of Boise, but a lot of development. This isn't news to anybody here, but in Meridian, now starting to trickle into Canyon County as well. How are we doing as far as, you know, a month into the first quarter?
Well, I can't say specifically to quarter to quarter, but to me, you have to say something's going on here. People are moving here again. Kevin, the real estate is going okay. It's not on fire. That's a good thing.
Right.
You know, we want a steady, increasing real estate market, and we have it. And a lot of these developments are getting finished up that were put aside, right, when the Great Recession hit. They're getting finished up. Eagle's continuing to fire again. So I really feel like there's something going on here which really says, like many have predicted, over the next 20 years, the population here will double. That's the trajectory of what we're on. Hundreds of thousands more people in this valley. That's the trajectory. Will it have some bumps over quarter to quarter? To me, I think of it the same way as I do the market. The trajectory is higher. So you can sit around and figure out what's wrong in the world. Write all the headlines down. This is bad. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. And then focus on this little moment, but you're running against a trajectory that's more people are moving here. We will continue to grow, and that's the same with stocks, with business in general. It's continuing to grow, and I would not bet against this valley. It's a great place to live, as we experienced this weekend with all of our sunburns in the middle of February.
Yes.
That was crazy. That was crazy good, wasn't it?
It was the best ever, except if you're fighting a sinus infection. Finally, anything that we should be looking out for this week?
You know, we're going to see. They're really trying to figure this out in Greece, and I don't want to talk about Greece anymore than anybody else. I always make fun of the fact this little teeny tiny nation. But the reality is this week we may have some decisions made as to what's going to happen there. I think that could be very important to Europe, which therefore is important to us. Other than that, we're winding down earnings season, and it was okay, not great. So there's really not a lot of catalysts out there other than what's going on over in Europe.
Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Money Matters, 8 to 10 this Saturday at 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 580 KIDO. Time for the Manly Man segment. Dave Burnett with us here at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So today is the big day. I'm surprised you're working today.
Big day?
Considering America's Got Talents in town.
Hmm.
Now, I didn't see any Howard Stern or Melanie B or Howie Mandel. Did you?
Well, no, I think it's the producers. I don't think it's them.
So when it comes on Channel 7 in the summer, we're not going to see Boise?
Well, you might see some Boise talent.
But we're not going to see Stern in Boise.
I don't think so.
Oh.
Yeah, no, they're a big deal. No,
kind of disappointed.
They just travel around the country and select talent, so they're looking for people in Boise, Bossois, that has a little talent.
Well, as you've disclosed on this program, you are quite the stand-up comedian.
Knew I'd never do that.
And we've asked you several times to do some of your shtick here, but you don't.
No. You don't pay me to do that. I get paid to do that.
You wouldn't want to do it for free?
No.
No free samples?
No.
Well, I was wondering. I thought that you'd be over there with the American the Talent today.
What do I look like? Costco? I don't give out free samples.
Well, if you got on the show, you'd be a big deal.
Yeah.
You could be our Clay Aiken. I almost said Reuben Stoddard. You could be,
I'd be closer to Reuben Stoddard than Clay Aiken.
You could be our Bo Bridges.
Bo Bridges?
Well, Bo Bison. Or
Bo Jangles.
Bo Bice. Bo Jangles. Good chicken. So, your thoughts on America's Got the Talent in town today?
Well, you know, I did see on Channel 7, Doug Petcash is over there. Not that I don't think he's trying out, but he's over reporting, but I didn't see any people out there yet.
Imagine that.
I thought they were going to be lining up.
Well, a little early. Yeah,
maybe
a little early
it.
To be doing that.
Maybe that's it. Oh, you know what? Maybe they're not allowed to until 6. Come to think on it, you can't. You can't line up or camp. You can't camp out. And I don't think you can be there until 6. So people are sitting in their cars listening right now going, shut up, Dave. Don't tell them they can be there at 6. So I think 6 is when they can be there officially.
Well, Skip the Magician's out there. He's everywhere.
Well, of course, he's on TV doing that. That guy's everywhere, isn't he?
You know, it was funny. Remember one of the last incarnations of Channel 12, and I think one of the incarnations of Channel 5 plus 1 was where they... Here's Skip the Magician, and Skip does a great job, but it's just kind of surreal seeing Skip, you know, in his tuxedo and his top hat so early in the morning.
Sure.
Kind of surreal.
That's kind of the way you dress here.
Yes, exactly.
Tuxedo and a top hat.
Yes, from my Joseph A. Banks wardrobe. They don't provide me. Yes.
Yes. Well, you're in radio. No. Not typically. Is it? I didn't even look. Are you wearing a sweatshirt today, a hoodie?
Yeah. Well, I'm so upset with this weather. As we discussed yesterday, I am so mad because, and this will make our big boss mad, but I actually have the, how should I put this? I actually have the Belichick hoodie that he wore.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken me 3 years and scouring the internet to finally purchase it. And I didn't purchase it like a true Patriots fan. I didn't purchase it until they won. And I want to wear it because I'm known for the hoodies. In fact, they call me in the hallway. There comes the hoodie.
It's too hot, though.
I'm kind of like the Bill Belichick of the broadcast center.
A little bit. You're in. Always stealing hand signals, always cheating. Yeah, you're right.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of the weather, I was looking at the extended forecast.
Okay.
Sunshine highs up near 60.
I know.
For the week ahead, which, and mind you, and don't get me wrong, I love that. I love that. I could take it year-round. But that's not good. That's not good for a water year. Those who raise beets, those who raise, you know, potatoes, going to be going, not good at all. So that spells serious problems ahead for Idaho's agriculture, for our economy, which, you know, sugar beets is their biggest agricultural crop. That is not good for the fishing, for the recreation.
You were talking about that, and I go, well, it's raining. And you go, dude, we need the snow. And now yesterday... You smacked me because I said, it isn't good for the skiing. And you said, Brundage, it's good. But what about Bogus?
Yeah, Bogus is struggling. They may have to restrict or curtail Operation Soldier Mountain, about closing down.
Who would ski anyway?
Oh, it's fun.
And I'm not attacking.
Have you ever skied?
I have as a kid. But, I mean, it was in Ohio. It's not like real mountains and stuff
out
here.
No, it's hills, yeah.
Yeah, but, and I enjoyed it, and it was great. It was a fun time.
Then who would ski?
You. Well, I'm going to tell you why I didn't ski, why I don't ski. Because as I got older and our family moved to New Hampshire, which is where they are now, buried in the snow with those people from Boston, you know, and they've got some good mountains out there in New Hampshire, Vermont, right? Okay.
I guess I've never been there,
Well, they're kind of, they have, like, where do people come from the ski team? They come from, like, either the Northeast or the West. You don't see a lot of people from Alabama on the ski team.
No, or like Jamaican bobsled, right. The Alabama ski team.
Right. I think we had, you know, a ski team in high school and all. But, you know, I thought to myself, you could get injured. And, you know, I had a lucrative career waiting for me in college football, which obviously paid off. Oh, I never did that. Anyway, I think I was recruited to like a Division II school, if that. But regardless of that, I didn't want to get injured. And then I was lifting weights and bodybuilding and competing in that. And I was actually fearful of an injury. Because you get things happen. Sonny Bono, God rest his soul. I mean, dangerous things can happen when you're skiing. And I love to ski. I mean, I was a pretty good skier on those hills.
But dangerous things can happen when you're walking home.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. You can't live your life in fear.
I do all the time, man.
I mean, I'm not telling you to jump off the Prime Bridge, but you can't live your life in fear.
Man, those people that ski, God bless them, and the snowboarders. Not me. I'll be playing PlayStation.
How is it they do it? Okay. All right. Oh, by the way, a note back to the show. Aren't you talking to Phil Morrissey today with the USGA about water snowpack?
Sure.
I think you are in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yes.
To which, I mean, it is, I mean, water is one of the things overlooked, but it's probably one of the most important issues to the state of Idaho. It's just people get glazed over and they go, water? Ugh, I'd rather talk about America's Got Talent.
Yes.
But water, probably the most single important issue to the state of Idaho.
Right.
And you want to talk land grabs, water grabs, if people could do it. Whoo, my
right.
goodness. California would grab our water in a heartbeat if they could.
I suppose.
No, truth.
So, yeah, well, what was it? Who said that? It was the Israelis or someone that said water is going to be like oil? Somebody said that in a recent magazine. By the way, which brings me to my Bloomberg Business Week update that we have every week here at 580 KIDO.
I'm ready.
You know, smart people read that publication, and you don't have to be smart to read it, and I kind of like to read it. I was talking about this yesterday with Dave Petzo, and you and I were commenting on it a couple minutes ago. Just these iconic brands that are struggling. Number one, Radio Shack, actually biting the dust. It's going to be bought out by a conglomerate that kind of owned three-fourths of it to begin with. Radio Shack going away. You and I and a lot of people grew up under Radio Shack. Are you surprised by that?
Tandy Computers. We need to get back to Tandy Computers.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I remember when the first personal computer we had, it was like the Commodore 64, but it was like the TI something, me and my dad.
Yeah, I got it. Tandy was my very first computer as well.
And it was, what was that, not AOL, Prodigy or something?
Prodigy,
like?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of the first services. And then everybody jumped on AOL. That was the, you know, AOL, that was the big deal.
So you get back to that. Are you surprised that they're going away?
No, because their marketing has been horrid.
Right.
So, and bad marketing is going to get you. And if you don't, realize you have bad marketing until after that, then... You know.
Well, let's go back to their last attempt. Let's go back to the 80s, which was not this Super Bowl, but last Super Bowl. I think you and I talked about that, where they had Dee Snider from Twisted Sister and all. And by the way, it's kind of eerie seeing some of those iconic people that are, how should I put this, you know, older.
Over the hill?
Well, miles on the odometer. I mean, look, when you're in your 30s or 40s and you're dressed up as a woman in Twisted Sister, it's a little different than when you're in your 60s, I suppose.
I always like to refer to it as having more past than future.
I know, that scares me.
Mm-hmm. You reach that point in life, you suddenly go, ooh, wait a minute. But that's when you should quit dressing up in, like, Twisted Sister.
Words to live by. So, and then we were talking a little bit about McDonald's struggling. I think, unfortunately, that means that the economy is coming back because... Usually when the economy's in the toilet, McDonald's and Walmart are killing it. Now Walmart's struggling, McDonald's struggling. Does that mean that people are buying high-end stuff?
Again, I'm not quite sure what McDonald's is doing with their marketing. You saw their whole Super Bowl campaign thing?
Yeah.
With the old, somebody's going to love you and give you a free French fry or something. It's like,
how about a hug?
Yeah, I don't want a hug. I don't want a hug from you.
I like their ads where they talked about the community of being McDonald's, and maybe they need to make it about the people. Is that some guy? Oh, I thought some guy was juggling fire behind Doug Patcash. Never mind.
No.
And if you're listening at home, he's really not doing that. It's just theater of the mind.
I think it's one of our remote techs, actually.
I think you're right. Glad to see he's working hard. Anyway, at 580KIDO. So you go back to this. I mean, your thoughts on... the issue involving McDonald's and whether they're going to be around.
Well, yeah, they will. I mean, they always, you know, kind of re-innovate themselves and reinvigorate themselves. They'll be fine. But, you know, I mean, you were talking with Dave yesterday about Burger King. They've kind of had to reinvent themselves and have struggled.
They've sold off all their – they're basically like a shadow company where it's like Amway.
Yeah.
You go and you get your stuff. They're just a supplier for the franchises.
Yeah. I mean, I was streaming across channels yesterday and that Mike and Molly show was on. And I heard him say the line, I'm getting everything at Mervyn's. And I thought, are they still open? I thought Mervyn's went out of business. But, you know, they're big chain stores that have gone away. But there's other ones to replace them. It's cyclical. They come and go. But you know, when somebody is struggling like McDonald's, they'll either reinvent themselves or they'll go away.
Or the, yeah, you're right. I think they should have focused on, though, McDonald's being part of the community instead of, hey, okay, you get a free shake if you get a hug. You give a hug.
You give a hug, get a free shake. I'm not hugging you. I don't want your shake. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon County and 8.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll get the latest from Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. Apparently some big things happened yesterday concerning constitutional carry, and it's not good. We'll get the latest from Greg Pruitt coming up. Plus, America's Got Talent, a lot going on here today. If you're going down, we'd love to hear your talent this morning at 580-KIDO. Time for traffic. And it's 5:59 coming up. Fox News on the radio right here at 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Keep it here. Stay informed. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.